Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our first reading for this Christmas Day celebration is recorded for us in Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him, and He burns up His adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the peoples see His glory. All worshipers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship Him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of His saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to His holy name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is recorded for us in the letter to the Philippians, the second chapter. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, and taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This too is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite the congregation to please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter, where he takes us back to creation and fulfills it in Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me." For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. has made him known. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas. Some years ago at a Christmas Eve service in a congregation not unlike our own, things looked absolutely perfect. It was especially exciting because this was the first Christmas the congregation was celebrating in their new sanctuary. It was beautiful, especially the stand by the altar that had been designed to hold poinsettias. It was full and it was beautiful. In the congregation were children seated close to their parents, some just snuggling, others being held a little bit tighter. There were dating couples hopeful that their new friend would be someone special, engaged couples planning their wedding and their future, married couples who knew the joys and struggles of wedded life and were committed to the effort necessary to develop the strong and lasting secure relationship. There were, of course, older parents, some singled by the death of their spouse, but accompanied by their adult children, feeling grateful and blessed. The young soprano flawlessly sang the first stanza of Once in Royal David's City. The musicians played during the service were right on, their sound nothing less than angelic. The burning candles, of course, added to the glow that was apparent on the face of the worshipers. Why, even the preacher preached a pretty decent sermon. It was, for many, it seemed like the perfect Christmas. Then, during the liturgy of Holy Communion, that special platform with the poinsettias on it, it started to shift under the weight. And suddenly, it crashed with a loud crash, and all of a sudden, poinsettia plants were all over the place, and the clay jars, well, they made a rather loud sound. Dirty and tangled plants everywhere. It was a real mess. And needless to say, the beauty of the moment was just sort of as shattered as those clay pots. When I heard that story, three things sort of sprang to mind in quick succession. First was simply this. The glass jars of our luminaries would make an incredible noise if anything should happen to the shelves. And honestly, it's been a fear of mine ever since we moved the luminaries inside. Then, the other day, in a mocking emphasis of my fear, as I was setting up the shelves, I put the first shelf on wrong and the support fell behind the altar and the shelf was like this. And I was so happy no jars were on it yet. The second thing that came to my mind was something that I've actually felt for a long time, but these broken clay pots and scattered dirt and plants sort of put an image to it. It's a bit of an analogy for our Christmas Day worship compared to Christmas Eve. I mean, the magic of the candle lighting of the Christmas Eve program is broken by the harsher reality of the light of day. I even had Tim keep up the luminaries for emphasis today. I mean, even lit, pardon the pun, they just don't quite hold a candle to the Christmas Eve. Yes, we're still singing some of the favorite carols. We're hearing the same story, but it's just not quite as magical. But the third thing that came to mind is those broken clay pots are really the perfect image of the true and deeper meaning of Christmas. Because it was not into a beautiful, silent night type of world that the Son of God came. Rather, he came into the harsh reality of a very broken world. And he did so with great purpose and with great humility. Our reading today from Philippians chapter 2, it's not a traditional Christmas reading. Rather, we hear that reading from Philippians 2 every year on Palm Sunday without fail. But it is fitting for Christmas as well, because Paul speaks of the incarnation of Jesus. He approaches it from a little different angle, and he also gives to us its ultimate purpose. In Paul's account to the Philippians, there's no manger, no angels rejoicing, no shepherds visiting. Just this. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. In the brokenness of this world, God promised a seed from Eve, a descendant from her body that would come to destroy the work of the serpent. And in the fullness of time, God empties himself to take on our form. God the Son, he did not consider himself so important that he wouldn't become one of us. Unlike Adam and Eve, whose desire to be like God led them to grasp onto that fruit and to eat, Jesus actually is God, and yet did not consider that his place at the head of creation was so important that he would grasp onto it and not let go. But rather, in great humility, he emptied himself, taking on our form and our likeness, the form and likeness of a fragile clay pot. And honestly, this is a source of unending wonder for us. Mind-boggling, actually. The one who fills the universe is laid in a manger. The helper of his people becomes helpless and dependent on a mother. The omnipotent God had to learn to walk and to talk. The eternal Word of God had to learn how to read. The one who never sleeps himself became tired. The creator of the oceans became thirsty. The sustainer of all creation becomes hungry. This is so mind-boggling a truth that one of the major heresies that broke into Christianity was it's impossible. It's impossible for the infinite God to become finite, but God's word says that's exactly what he did. And we rejoice. But then in the greatest act of humility, the beloved Son of God, Son of Man. And yet, in that incarnation, the eternal God in frail clay pot to live in a perfect with a Father that we do not have and can born to offer that clay pot as the sacrifice for our sins. A sacrifice did by the Father who not only raised him from the dead and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that now in heaven and on earth and under the earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ doesn't mean that he no longer comes as the humble servant to his people. Because he still comes to us in the most humble of ways. It is amazing that the one before whom every knee will bow still comes to us in a way that we can reject him. He comes to us through the incredibly plain means of words. What a fragile vessel that is, huh? Words which are so easy to twist. Words which are so easy to misuse. Words that are easy to ignore or to forget. And yet, Words are the very means of delivering the good news, the life, and even Christ himself to us. He promises that he is the one who comes through the simple means of the waters of baptism to bestow on even the littlest ones the robe of righteousness that he won for them to make them pure and holy children of God. And my favorite part of Christmas Day, he comes to us in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. If you think the manger is a humble place to lay the Creator and the Redeemer, this is even more amazing because he promises to come to us in these elements with the very body and blood that was laid in that manger 2,000 years ago. Well, okay, maybe not the same body, but it is the body that was born of Mary, the body that was raised on the cross and placed in the tomb, the body that has now been raised and glorified. He comes to us. And he comes to us each time, renewing his covenant of forgiveness with us again and again. He comes to us each time, also blessing with us with another incredible and unique mystery. I received a Christmas card. I'll be honest, in the nick of time, I opened it last night. Now, you probably can't read this, huh? Anyway. This card speaks of this mystery so well. The miracle of God with us, eternal, infinite God, in a tiny, helpless baby, is the great wonder of Christmas. The miracle of Christ in us, his grace, love, and power, is the greatest wonder of each and every moment. Paul wrote to the Colossians, God has chosen to make known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As we continue to receive Christ, both in hearing his story, singing his praises, receiving him in communion, we rejoice and we celebrate that the one who emptied himself all the way to the cross comes to dwell in us. The broken jars of clay that we are. He chooses to dwell in us with the glory of his resurrection and exaltation to fill us with hope each and every moment of every day. What can you say besides Merry Christmas! Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.